in connection with our exhortation, we will consider the reading of the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as was when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the night light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be that in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gates, and from the hot tower of Hananeel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents, as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house the Lord of hosts. We will now listen to an exhortation from my brother Paul Byrd on the subject, the Bible's prophetic culmination. Brother Byrd.
We would like to take just a few minutes of your time this morning to talk about this most magnificent chapter, the 14th of Zechariah. The past 2 weeks, many of the magazines have carried, for some reason, articles, all of which have been entitled, Can Israel Survive? Now, if we would take from our pocket a coin of the realm, we would see on it the words, In God We Trust. And somehow, this is to symbolize that this nation is a so-called Christian nation. That is, that we in this country supposedly believe in Christ. And in so doing, should certainly believe in the words of which he has spoken. And we, as Christadelphians, when we think about Israel surviving, think of those words that tell us that when you see the armies encompassing Jerusalem, that we are to be on the alert for most magnificent times. Now, if indeed this were a Christian nation in the truest sense of the word, it would be ridiculous for writers to pen articles entitled, Can Israel Survive? Because certainly anyone with a halfway knowledge of these scriptures knows not only that Israel will survive, but indeed the survival of Israel is tied in with the survival of the whole human race. We read a few verses in the 12th chapter of Zechariah. We talk to our Jewish friends about these verses, and they say, well, these were written by an old bearded man 2,500 years ago, and they really have no significance. And yet, listen to them. It's like listening to the daily news. And at that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. And certainly this has been true in our generation. Witness the demise of the British Empire. An empire which agreed to take on the control of this little land in the 1920s. And as soon as she reneged on her obligation, the British Empire came apart. And not as Lenin had predicted many years ago by expanding itself into extinction, but rather by violating the words of this book in which it said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And it goes on to say, and at that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about. A year ago, we saw this vividly brought to our attention. It was the headlines of all the papers. The Six-Day War. And it says, And at that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Not that the armies of man will accomplish this, but here the Jews are promised, and they will not read. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And this is the part that has not come to pass. But it is the words that are not written at all in these articles, can Israel survive? For 120 years, the Christadelphians have told their contemporaries of the story of this book. And that is that this is a unified story, that it is a continuous story. And not that it is the rantings of some, as the Jews would say, bearded old men. And nowhere throughout the scripture can this be so vividly verified as in the 21 verses of Zechariah the 14th chapter. For herein in these verses is virtually the entire story reviewed and condensed, so that one merely reading these verses and nothing else would have a big understanding of what the Lord has promised and has planned to do in the earth. Listen to the things it talks about. It starts out, "Behold the day of the Lord." And throughout the scriptures, this expression is used one way or the other. In Isaiah, it speaks of the last days. In Daniel, at the time of the end. It speaks of my day, and Christ said Abraham saw his day and was glad. In Matthew, Christ tells his followers that of that day no man knoweth. Throughout the scriptures, in Joel and Malachi, almost everywhere you look, there is reference to this subject of the day of the Lord and of the dire warnings that are attached to its coming. Now, it has become, in our day, very popular for the so-called men of the cloth to stand up and get completely away from this book and to talk instead about the social ills that are about us. And the theme has been for the past 25 years the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. And anyone that would suggest that the Lord has any plans in the way of chastisement for the people would certainly be considered out of step with the present day teaching. And yet, it says in this chapter that the Lord plans to gather all nations before Jerusalem. And much more than that, and it says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Where from the pulpits is this talked about? The fourth through the fifth verses tells of a most magnificent event, of a time in which the Lord's representative would stand once again, as he did in the days of his ministry, on the Mount of Olives. And despite the fact that many people and scientists who have had to do with earthquakes and the like have written and described the faults that exist in the areas around Jerusalem, none of the preachers and none of the scientists make any reference to this great earthquake. An earthquake which is likened to the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. Josephus tells us of an interesting side thing on this. You recall Ahaziah became distraught with the priest and took it upon himself to enter the temple and to offer incense upon the altar, and that he was at this time smitten with leprosy. And Josephus says that the earthquake occurred at this time, and that the temple cracked open, and that sunlight streamed in through this crack and smote Uzziah in the forehead and produced the leprosy. This may not be, but nevertheless, it seems to point up that many in this day and age have taken it upon themselves to offer strange fire, as it were, to the Lord, and that their day of reckoning is coming when this earthquake takes place. It says at that time that living waters will go out from Jerusalem. And then it describes a plain that is to be built from out of this earthquake from Geba to Rimmon of a space of about 50 miles, which many feel will provide the situation for the temple so brilliantly described in the last part of Ezekiel. It tells of a terrible plague to come upon mankind at that time. It talks about people standing there with their flesh consumed away. And for many, many years in antiquity, this could not be understood. And yet, this certainly is a very ready possibility in this day and age, with these various death rays and atomic weapons that have been produced. Consider much more so what the power of the Almighty can do. It says that Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and that the people of Judah shall fight at Jerusalem. And then it comes on down to say that it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, and this is a very significant phrase, one that is left, for the book tells us of the tremendous destruction of the armies that are going to be involved in this. Now, what about the relationship of Zechariah 14 to the rest of the scriptures? Well, we can take almost any section of the Bible and find that in here is reference to this thing. The writings of Moses culminate with Moses telling the Jews that the Lord will provide them a prophet like unto himself, and they are to hearken unto him. And Moses records in Deuteronomy that there is a time coming in which the army of the Lord will come up to this area that behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. The Psalms, we can find many, many references throughout the Psalms to the events in Zechariah. They seem to culminate in the words of the 149th Psalm, where it says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written, this honor hath all his saints. Now, this event of the Lord going forth and fighting in Jerusalem is told about in the prophets many places. But the exacting predictions of this event are told in Ezekiel, starting in the 37th chapter, the 38th and 39th, and in the book of Daniel, wherein the book of Daniel starts out and builds a background for all prophetic utterances with the image, and goes on to tell about the two horns and how their relationship will be with the children of Israel, and that this little horn of the east, so vividly described in the 11th chapter, bringing us down to the almost same words that open Zechariah the 14th, and says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. In Ezekiel it tells the same story. It tells in the 37th chapter of those magnificent events that are to warn the people, to alert the people that study this book, of the resurrection of the nation of Israel, the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones, to go on and tell then in the 38th and 39th chapter of a tremendous invasion that is to overwhelm these people. But to go on and tell, as does Daniel, that when this event takes place, that is the words of Zechariah, at that time shall the Lord go forth, and he shall indeed fight at Jerusalem. And the minor prophets, throughout them is the theme of the day of the Lord. Several of them speak in open words of the northern army to come down and attack the Jewish people. Others do it in symbol. And the Gospels. The Gospels don't just point out to people a nice way of living. The Gospels do not just tell of the Beatitudes, which seem to be the idea of most of our contemporaries. For certainly in the Gospels, there too is the prophetic idea. And in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the Master spells it out in very simple language of these events, which are summarized in Zechariah, the 14th chapter. And in so doing, puts his stamp of approval on the prophetship of Daniel, a prophet whose writings have been discredited by those in our generation who style themselves teachers of religion, who contend that Daniel is not a prophetic book but is a history book. Christ himself says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." Now, we will readily grant that some of these words have some to do with the time of the invasion of Titus, but their sound is almost identical to those words in Zechariah. It says, "And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." The words in Zechariah speaking of living waters bring attention to another event talked about in the Gospels, in which Christ standing at the well of Samaria tells of this same thing. And our attention, since we bring up the theme of the unification of all this book, is immediately taken elsewhere in the prophets to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, where it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And these are the waters, these living waters that are here in this book, of which we may come, and in the words of Isaiah, may buy without price, and may take of these. And in so doing, we'll better comprehend this culmination of things. The earthquake spoken of in Zechariah certainly must have direct application to the things spoken of in the book of Revelation, where, coming down to the 16th chapter, it says, "And a seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." And in the last part of this chapter, Zechariah, it talks of the people going up from year to year to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, a reference back again to Moses, an institution started many hundreds of years before. And it says that the people will be forced to go up. And then it comes on down, and it says, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. And it says that every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seize therein. And at that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Isaiah, the 35th chapter. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called a way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And we would like to bring our remarks to a close this morning by reading the 9th verse of this chapter, which if Zechariah the 14th chapter does indeed summarize and culminate all the prophecies contained in this book, then indeed everything is tied up in this one verse. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. For this indeed is the final prophetic culmination. Thank you very much.